You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Plan a party to go hell. They're out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, happy anniversary to you, too, good buddy.
How you doing, Tom?
Well, listen, 6 years. They
you got it.
Put in the last 90 days, and here it is, 6 years.
Yes, it is.
Are you ready for that, partner?
I'm ready. I'm ready for 8 or 9 or 10.
Hey, I got to tell you something, Bill. You know, I think we are the longest running internet Bigfoot show ever.
I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to tell.
No, I do know. I did some research today, and I did find out there was one that lasted for 5 years. And we just came aboard at that time. I think Don Monroe remembers the name of that show, because I remember when I first met him, he was going on that thing. But, yeah, I think we're the longest-running show on Bigfoot ever. And it makes me very proud. It makes me proud to have a co-host, a guy like you, good old Marco Bill. How you feeling, first of all, good buddy?
Hey, I'm feeling much better, a lot better.
Wait, you know, I got to tell you, I don't think there's a day goes by I don't get an email or a call asking how Marco Bill is and is he okay. and that they pray. There's all kinds of prayers going out for you.
And well, they all help. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, and you know what? They must be working.
Yeah, they are.
You know how you could tell?
Well, yeah, I'm getting better.
Oh, you're on the show.
Yeah, that's right. We have a show this week.
That's how I can tell you. We got the show running, so we're in good shape, good buddy. You know, I saw the list of the people that you got coming on tonight, and I got to tell you, my eyes teared up a little bit. And I'll tell you the reason why. When I saw some of these names, I just couldn't believe it. I haven't, you know, heard from them in a long time, or if I have. It, you know, it's been a little now and then, you know. Roger Peterson, my God, 7 years he's been with us. Bruce Schilt, since the beginning.
Yep.
And Dave Ortiz.
Don.
You know, I can remember like it was yesterday. You know, Kenny Jablovic out there in PA. I'll never forget the day he called me. It was just like yesterday, okay, and his lovely bride, Janine. I mean, it's gone above and beyond, you know.
And Rex and Don and, my God, the list is
Rex
unbelievable.
Rex is like my son, you know. Don Monroe, you know, he and I, he shared a lot of campfires with me. We tracked a lot of miles. And I've got to be honest with you, these guys are some of the best in the industry. And I love them all. I got to tell you that straight up. I love every one of them. So since it's our anniversary show, let's cut the hoopla and all the crap, and let's get out there to my family. I'll call it our extended family. You're exactly right, Marco Bill. Let's get out there to Leroy. Leroy, you out there?
Yes, happy anniversary, Tom and
Marco.
Well,
thank you, good buddy. Well, let me ask you, what state are you residing in now? Is it Kentucky or Tennessee?
It's Kentucky.
It is Kentucky. Well, good.
Yep.
How's the family? Is everybody good?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's doing fine.
You know, I got to tell you, we go back, gosh, I don't know how many years, Leroy.
Oh, it's been 4 or 5 years now.
It has been that long. Ladies and gentlemen, for our new listeners out there around the globe, Leroy is probably, in my eyes, one of the best authoritative people in the field when it comes to debunking a lot of these myths. He did something with the Roger Patterson movie that other people have not. And you're going to see some of his work, and he talks about it in our new movie, Hoax of the Century. By the way, did you get a final copy of that?
I got a copy, but I don't know if it was a final one because I think he was adding more stuff into it.
Okay, all right. What'd you think of it?
Oh, I liked it.
You liked it, huh? Not just because you're in it now, right?
A lot of information.
Are you a little prejudiced, are you?
Who, me?
Yeah,
no.
You.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's done stuff on the Ark. He's done stuff on the Grail, the Holy Grail. I mean, my God, tell everybody what you've done.
Okay, I did research on, well, the Patterson and Gimlin Bigfoot film, JFK assassination, Noah's Ark, the Garden of Eden, Amelia Earhart, the Zodiac Killer, the Garden of Eden, Ark of the Covenant, which holds the Ten Commandments. Oh, I've done a lot of research over the years.
Yeah,
and right now, I'm in the middle.
Ladies and gentlemen, and he's good at what he does, okay, you know. You'll get a lot of people out there that'll say that, hey, this guy is a kook, I'm a kook, everybody else is a kook. And the reason why they do that and label people that way is because they're jealous. They can't do or have the vision or have the know-how to do as these people do. Because I'm going to tell you straight up, when the world gets to see the hoax of the century, they're going to look at themselves, they're going to slap their mama in the head, and they're going to say, oh, my God. Gosh, I don't believe what I just saw. And the reason why I'm saying that, because our scholastic, learned, professional PhD scientists that have backed the Patterson film, they're going to look for the biggest hole or the smallest hole around to crawl into, because we're telling it like it is, like we always have. Wouldn't you agree with that, Leroy?
Yes, that's the best thing to do, is just present the evidence that's actually been in front of the public's eye for years. It's just everybody else overlooked it. But in my research I do, I never overlook nothing. I show everything that, you know, either backs a film or disproves a film.
Exactly, exactly. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? When we bring that out, all we're doing is showing the world what we've uncovered from the mouths, from the faces of the people who participated in that hoax. Now, I know that there's going to be, Leroy, I know that there's going to be people out there still saying, oh, well, that's the Holy Grail, okay? Even though you show the belt buckle, even though you show that there were the pad underneath the foot, even though you show the prosthesis eye on the right side from Hieronymus, I mean, and it goes on and on and on. What other major factors have I left out?
Oh, well, like I said, the feet matches the footprints in the tracking dog film, and they also match Ray Wallace's shoes that he made.
You know, that was phenomenal. When I saw that, that just blew me away. I mean, I got to give John his due. He uncovered that with Wallace. And knowing the connection between Wallace and between John Green and between Patterson, and how, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand something. This just didn't happen on October 20th, 1967. That footage that they took was done way before that in 1967. And it wasn't just him. There was a bunch of people that collaborated with that. And that's why when you see the film, you're going to know exactly what we're talking about. And you're going to go, oh, my gosh. That's the only thing I could say. Just wait until it comes out, and you'll freak out like everybody else in the industry will. Do you agree with that, Leroy?
Yes. I totally agree.
Yeah. By the way, how's the weather down there by you?
It's been pretty nice. It's gone in the 60s a couple of days, but then it's back up in the 70s. Right now we got some storms coming in.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, it's been pretty well mild weather around here.
I see. Okay. Well, you know, we're leaving on expedition here a little bit quicker than we thought, but we're going to be heading off to Montana and Arkansas and Mississippi and Tennessee and then Alabama. And I was thinking about, since we're hitting in between there, we just might spend a couple hours and run through your town. What do you think?
Oh, you're all welcome.
This is our the new movie that we're doing is, it's going to be called Bigfoot Lives, the actual movie. It's not a documentary now. So we got some incredible stuff that has never been filmed before that the film crew will be doing with us as we're out there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I want to thank you for your allegiance. I want to thank you for your loyalty. And most of all, I want to thank you for being a friend to Searching for Bigfoot, to Marco, Bill, myself, and my team.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you for letting me post my research and show my research to the public. And I just want to let everybody know that right now I'm doing a process of making two books on JFK assassination and on the PG film.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. Can't wait till they come out. I'll be first in line to get it. God bless you and the family. Say hello. Mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show coming out. And thank you for sharing a little bit of your evening with us.
All right. Thank you all, and happy anniversary again.
Thanks, good buddy.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Leroy Blevins. You're going to hear a lot more about him. I've talked about him. We've had him on our show many, many times. Like he says, 4 or 5 years he's been with us. Bill, let's go to commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
Thanks, Bill. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you a story. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax is probably one of the best pieces of work that we've ever done. We've had our cameras rolling the entire time, and thank God I sent our videographer out there, because you can't hoax the film that was taken while the whole thing was being done. And a fellow filmmaker, Chris, saw the film, and he made a comment to me today when we had talked, because Chris will be on this expedition with us. He'll be videographing and editing and making our new movie, Bigfoot Lives, the movie. And by the way, this guy is so, so talented. You're going to see it on the screen. You'll see where his talent lies. And he is just, he says, you know, Tom, after seeing your movie, it answered so many questions. So all of you people out there in Bigfoot land around the globe who come up with their own conclusions on Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, that's right, the seventh largest story in the world back then in 2008 about those two cops having the frozen body in the freezer, you need to get it. Go to our website, searchingforbigfoot.com. Go to the stores department, shopping for Bigfoot, order it. You'll have it, I'm sure, within 3 days. It'll answer any questions and behind the scenes like you've never seen before, and it'll blow your mind. As a matter of fact, our next guest happened to be there during that big hoopla of all the media. He's like my own son, Rex Howdy Show. Rex, you out there?
I sure am, Bob. How are you?
Well, listen, thank you so much for being on our anniversary show. You have no idea what this means to me by having you there with us. And I've got to tell you, you know, when I look back and I reflect on the expeditions that you have been on with us, what are they total to? 9, 10, 11?
I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah. And everybody says, well, hey, Tom, how did you ever get to meet Rex? How did Rex ever get to meet you guys? I says, you know what? He's going to be on the show sometime, and I'm glad you're on now. Would you be kind enough to tell everybody how that whole thing came about?
Sure. I was waiting at the airport for my wife's plane. It was late.
Where is this
airport? And I was listening to the radio.
I know, but where was the airport?
Los Angeles Airport.
Okay, go ahead.
And so I was listening to the George Norrie Coast to Coast AM show, and you were on it, and you were trying to capture Bigfoot, and you asked for volunteers. So I thought about it for a day and a half, and I called up Java Bob's Bigfoot Deli. I couldn't find that, but I found the other phone number for your organization, and I called, left a message, and volunteered.
And what happened?
You called me, you interviewed me, you tried to scare me away from all these stories of dark and bugs and whatever else, and I said I wanted to come along anyway, and I was good at, I'm a computer guy. So I like to be in the forest, and I like to do the computers, too, and you liked that combination, and you invited me out. So I drove, let's see, what was it, 14 hours, I think I drove to get up to Northern California, and met Java Bob, met the other guys, and Tara, and she gave me the assignment to stay in that tent in her backyard, and with the camera and look on that hillside with the IR monocular.
And what happened?
And, okay, well, I got bored after 3 days, so I decided to go hike up that hill. So I went hiking up that hill and along the trail, and right there beside the trail, there was this depression that looked like a footprint. And I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I couldn't believe my eyes, but it looked just like it could be a Bigfoot footprint. On my third or fourth day out, Bigfooting ever, and it was pointing downhill toward Tara's house, and she was saying, "It's coming down that hill into my yard and down to the creek." And I got all excited. I didn't even take a picture of it. I got so excited and went down and called you up, said, "I think I found a footprint." And that was exciting when, what was it, 4 or 5 days? Well, you guys were out getting hoaxed in Nevada.
East Coast, Nevada.
Yeah, you guys left me as left me in that town, Happy Camp, California, representing you on my second day. I was there second, third, fourth day, and you guys were all chasing Bigfoot in Nevada, or trying to anyway.
Right, right. Oh, boy. Let me ask you something. That happens to be, by the way, the biggest footprint you've ever cast or anything that we've ever seen. Tell everybody the size of that.
21 or 22, I think it was 21 inches long, 8 inches
wide. 2 inches long.
What's that?
22 inches long.
Okay. Okay.
Do you remember what the width was?
Yeah, it was 8 inches.
Yeah, but where the toes were, 4 inches by the heel.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it was just amazing when the guy that was working for you, he came back from Nevada and came up and looked at the footprint, and as he was blowing the dirt out of it, I saw the shape of the Bigfoot shape, but just watching him blow the dirt out and the 5 toes just as clear as ever, you could see them. I was just blown away.
I know.
It was an amazing
experience.
I want to experience.
Ask you something, because people ask all the people that roll with us when we do roll on expedition, what was your most exciting, most compelling expedition that you've ever gone on? Do you have any one in particular?
I was just thinking about that. The second one in Texas, I think it was. The second one in Texas. When we were, well, the first one in Texas, we were hiking in the woods, I remember, and Tim was walking off trail to our left, and I remember hearing noise, and I saw him. Then 3 weeks later, we were back in Texas, and we were walking on a trail, and I heard something off to our left. And I thought, well, maybe it's Tim out there again. You and Java Bob heard it also, and I think somebody said, well, maybe it's Tommy, except that we knew that Tommy was up ahead of us. And I can't believe we drove thousands of miles to get there, and we kind of ignored what could that sound be. And we were trying to explain it away. Turned out, behind us, Mike and the camera guy were looking out, and we didn't know what Mike was pointing to, but he had seen the Bigfoot running. And the cameraman said he had seen, you know, that something really fast go flash. And it's in the film, the movie, the first movie. And we found the depressions, the Bigfoot footprint depressions in the leaf litter. And it was kind of frustrating after all those miles driving. And we heard a noise. And we were trying to think it must have been somebody from our team. And I just kick myself just thinking about that.
You know, I do also, but there are so many other times, Rex, that meant more to me and were more significant, and I'm going to bring them up, see if I can refresh your memory. One happened to be up there in the Lukachukais.
Oh, that's right.
You remember
that's
that?
Right. Oh, yeah. And that was another one where we heard noises.
Well, wait a minute. Before hearing the noise,
okay.
What happened when we were traveling up that mountain, and what did you see in your peripheral vision on the right?
Yeah, we were driving along. I thought I saw something big and huge, and then I didn't see it anymore, and I wondered where it went. And I said, I just think I saw something. So we stopped the cars, and we got out, and I walked down back down the road back where the cars were, trying to figure out if it was an optical illusion. But I could not find that big gray blob anymore.
By the way, who was the other guy that walked right along with you?
You walked right along with me.
Who was
we
that?
We went out after I did that. We went out to the site.
Wait. Who was in that dry bed and walked down that dry bed with you?
Uh-huh. That's what we were doing.
Who was it?
It was you.
That's right. Don't you forget it.
We found the location where I thought I saw the big gray blob, and it was right there on the edge of a ravine. And sure enough, there was a trail down exactly where this thing
you
must have disappeared.
Thing. Yeah. Now, tell everybody out there, because I remember it like it was yesterday, when we hit to the top of the Luke Chukai's, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we had to virtually pave our way through there. We were on there on the rocks going up on two wheels sometimes, maybe three. But when we got up there, what happened?
Well, Tommy and I were anxious to get up hiking up that hill, and I set up a video camera with the IR camera and all on my person, and I had the video going as we were climbing up the mountainside. And about half an hour up, Tommy and I heard something ahead of us, and I said, "I hear something ahead of us." And you called on the radio not a minute later, I think, saying you saw something up there above us. And it was right where we had heard the sounds.
That's right. Yeah. We were watching them, ladies and gentlemen, as they were trekking up this mountain, and then we saw this blob, this dark blob, dart across right in front of them. To make a long story short, when you guys came back down, what did we find out there in the brush on the ground?
So Tommy turns to me while we're on the hillside, and he looks down where you guys were, and he pointed to my left at that time over there, and he said, "I want to go investigate that area." And so we go down, and he gets us all to go in a line and sweep that area, and sure enough, we found a footprint. In fact, we found, three or four?
Yep.
Footprints.
Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
That was an exciting time for us up there. I'll never forget that.
It sure was.
I'll tell you the reason why. We were up so high that one night we fell asleep. We woke up, and it was snowing. I don't know if you were there with us that time.
That was when my daughter suddenly went to the hospital, and I had to cancel.
Yeah.
In fact, I was going to drive the cameraman out there, so cameraman didn't get snowed in either.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, Rex sounds like a very calming, soothing, quiet type guy. And he comes across that way. I got to tell you that loud and clear. But the thing you don't know about this gentleman is that he's fearless. He's been out there in the dark. He's been out in Texas more times than anyone else besides myself and my main crew. And in the dark, when you can't even see your hand in front of your face, he would go out there after us having an encounter. Now, I'm going to bring something up. I want to see if you remember this. Do you remember the Monkey Man of Texas?
The Monkey Man of Texas. No, I don't. Remind me. I don't remember.
I'm going to remind you. It was an organization that was there, and they shared the field with us. And we gave them a point at Lamar Point going over, and we had three groups out there. We didn't hear from them that night, and it was just four of us, me, you, Jabba Bob, and TJ. We went to the point because we couldn't get no reception waiting for them because you know how I am. Unless we got our complete crew back, I don't leave.
Right.
Do you remember what happened?
I remember. They called on the radio. They said they saw a creature. They
were bombarded
with rocks. The rocks were being thrown at them.
That's right. Now, boy, you got a good memory, but you had forgotten that, didn't you?
I forgot their organization name.
I don't remember.
But now I remember the incident.
Funky Man or something, because he was out there doing the stuff. David was his first name, I think.
That's right. That was his name.
Yeah, uh-huh. But ladies and gentlemen, and it was a god-awful night. And I'll never forget it. And I'm worried because we lost radio contact with them until we finally went out to the point, and I'm listening to what was going on, and we all heard it.
Yep, I heard it.
Just like it was yesterday. Well, Garson, I want to tell you something. This has been a treat. Thank you so much. We got a chance of coming out to Mass. We're leaving on expedition here in a week. And we're coming out. I may come through Massachusetts. How far are you from there?
I work in Massachusetts.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, don't be too gnarly if you hear a call saying, hey, we're here.
Okay.
All right? Thanks so much, son. Just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot. Our next friend, I know you know him well. We're going out there to our good friend up in the mountains, Mr. Don Monroe. You take care of yourself, son. Bill?
Hello.
Yep, we're here.
You there?
Go ahead, Don.
Kudos, Tom. I guess that's your favorite word.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm out here in Idaho, sagebrush under the moon, trying to find wild man evidence.
Hey, listen.
I got something for you here, man. I found a man, a human being out here. Now, not here, but I won't tell you who. You might even know who they are. It's got a foot like a Sasquatch. I finally found a foot that resembles a Sasquatch more than anything else I've ever seen. When you cast this guy's cast, you swear it's a real article. And, you know, it'll come out, and we're going to put this out in a while. But I just never did think I'd find a person that had mid-tarsal break, the whole nine yards. They talk about all these things they refer to that looks just like the evidence was faked or not. It looks just like one.
Well, I'm glad you brought that out, Don, because, ladies and gentlemen, Don has tracked a lot of miles with us. And talking about mid-tarsal break and the prints, he was out there in Texas with us also by that river. What did we find, Don?
Well, more than that, what you found is I'm not sure you really know yourself sometimes. You found some great tracks. And I cast those for you. Me and who was it?
Tim.
Anyway, we did a good job for you on those casts that night. And it was kind of night when there's kind of half moon wagging. So things showed up afterwards, and we came back out there and did a night work about 2 in the morning and got some more casts up taken. And we say you saw a Sasquatch in the dark. I can't really say I saw one so I can identify what I saw exactly more than just the outline, but it wasn't very far away. So we did count that as a visual, but I don't want to have it on it because it's not really worth that much, but it was definitely one.
You know what, Don? As you're telling that story, I remember it like it was yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, there was like a river in between us.
Well, what's important here, Tom, I probed that stream with my telescopic walking stick at 12 feet deep. And whenever we came across that waterway, you had to do a dog paddle or had to swim on its back, or it couldn't walk over its head. I wouldn't think so. So like, it just almost proves to me that there's a water ability among these creatures. They can do something on their own on the water, in water.
Totally amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's opposed to apes and gorillas and monkeys that don't really swim normally. And so, you know, this set rules them out, too, to be a lot of that things. And those tracks that night were about nine of them. I remember nine of them in a row there. I took seven of them.
Yep, he did, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you what, and this man got down and dirty, and he saw
it.
He's sitting there telling
it
on film. You'll see it in Bigfoot Lives.
I got to say, for Tom, I never saw a person come as many miles in this United States in one short time. He did. And, you know, his crews work hard. Now, Tom Biscardi and Rex Havishell are a team by themselves. Now, I know Rex real well. And we met together about a year and a half ago. And, by the way, Rex, Tanya died a year ago that you met that day. And that situation was kind of private, but was quite an experience, too. It's not here tonight to tell about it, but Rex and I and my ex-girlfriend, Tanya, we experienced something really unusual in Washington State about a year and a half ago. And it's still in the, how you say, in the twilight zone of understanding. I'm writing about it a little bit sometimes, but anyway, there's going to be a lot of things discovered in the future that will help the whole Bigfoot community to realize how little we really know out there.
You hit it right on the head. You know what? Something sticks out in my head when you were out there with us in Minnesota by the old munitions plant. Do you remember that?
That night? Yeah, very well, yeah.
Why don't you tell everybody out there in the Bigfoot world, out there around the globe, Don, if you would, what happened?
Well, basically, a short rendition. Tom had taken us out to this lake area. He just mentioned it. It was, again, a reserve area, kind of a picnic, big use area. And anyway, he put the guys in pairs, which is a good idea, buddy teams, go out there at night and then explore. And I volunteered to go down to the brush where I'd found that same day. I told the same story before on this program, I believe, once. Went down in the brush here earlier in the afternoon and found where a deer had run out ahead of me, and there had been some Sasquatch evidence that I could see that was possible. It wasn't very definable, but it was possible. And the deer was so unusually frightened of me, which I've hunted deer in my life, a good guide. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the deer was so unusual, I couldn't put my finger on it. So I said, well, it's been frightened by something down here more than once, and he thought I was the same thing, probably. So I goes down there at midnight or past, alone in that same vicinity, within 100 yards, 100 feet, of where I found that deer run out. It was pitch dark. And the boys had their walkie-talkies up there and their communications, and they were chasing something was going across up the upper part of the terrain there, and it was on a gimp, a limping situation. They described it on their walkie-talkies. And I was sitting back there on a cement slab, actually. There's no abutment, and I'm sitting on there in the dark by myself. And the creature came right down within 20 feet of me, and I couldn't see it, but I could hear it deep breathing and excited, and it sat down or stood back down in the brush here just about 20 feet from where I was at for about 15 minutes. And I was just kind of breathing real shallow. I had to give myself away, of course, and I was trying to see what I could see, and I couldn't see a thing, but it was down there, and it came down the very direction the boys had all said it went down that direction toward the water, and I was right there with come down there. Well, by and by, like, we all met back there. We all mustered back at the car and then so on, and we talked about it. But
Wait. You missed the most important part. Ladies and gentlemen, when he was down there, we had NBC News with us.
Yeah, I forgot about that part.
And it was a reporter, and
yeah,
she
got frightened. Yeah, she got so frightened she took off and left us and went in the car and took
off
and went home.
Exactly.
She never heard her again. She never
That's
came
right.
Back.
What happened, ladies and gentlemen, I let her look through the thermal image of the TI. She saw this big heat signature run in between the two teams and Don, and she said, oh, my God, is that what I think it is? She drops the TI, runs down the hill. Now, you got to understand, Jabba Bob was coming up the hill with some equipment, and he says, what the hell happened to that reporter? I said, why? She looked like she saw a ghost. I asked her where she's going, and she says, I ain't coming back, and left.
Well, whatever it was came down when I was at, and it was definitely something unusual. It was something bigger than all of us. It was meant on a gimp, on a limp, like the boy described. And I'm... It wasn't exciting to me for myself. It was definitely an indication that something was there like that. Bigfoot's a word I hate to use, but it was a Bigfoot creature or something like that. Sasquatch, call it what you want to, but definitely a biped of some kind I can't identify.
I got to tell you something, good old buddy. There's very few of us left. You know, you hear all these other clowns that are out there and self-proclaimed Bigfoot researchers and I don't know what's going to happen with them people. And you know what? I really don't care because I don't waste my time anymore with those kind of people. And I'm glad to see that you are just doing your thing the way you know how and forget about all that nonsense.
Well, there's an old adage, Tom, an old adage about people and things in general. And, you know, being strong is important. Being intelligent is important. Being tough is important. The more important than all that is being adaptable. You can't adapt to the change of what goes on in discovery and logistics and all these things, evidence. If you can't adjust to change, you will not survive the pseudo-big community. I don't belong to that. I feel I'm a separate person from that. I'm an explorer on my own. But the big community will not survive. Important people will not survive if they cannot adapt to the change of discovery, whatever it comes to be.
You know what? Truer words were never spoken. Listen, my friend, it's always good to hear from you. And God bless you. Thanks for sharing with us tonight. Mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show here.
Okay, well, kudos, Tom, and happy anniversary to the show.
God bless you. Thank you, and say hello to all the gang when you get a chance to see and talk to them.
Ishmahashi.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Don Monroe. He's one hell of an explorer. You ever get a chance to meet him, do it, because that man is the true word of a researcher, and he's not afraid, okay? And I think he's, I don't know, 74, 75 years young, and he's a real, real man. Without any further ado, because we're running behind, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to New York, and let's talk to Danny.
No, we're not going to go to New York, Tom. Danny didn't make it on. We're going to go to Michigan to Mike.
Well, let's get out there to Michigan and talk to good old Mike. Mike, how are you?
Pretty good, dear. How about yourself?
Fine, thank you. First of all, what's the weather like there?
They've been getting down close to freezing at night and close to 60 during the day.
Is that right?
Definitely.
Okay, what is that? Are you upper peninsula or down south?
Upper peninsula.
You're upper peninsula, okay. What's been going on down there? Anything recent?
Yeah, a lot of different changes over there at my camp. I got the one bear hunter that moved in close to my camp, knowing that I feed him there year-round, took advantage of the situation. So wasn't a lot I could do, but
and he,
best
is
I talked to
like
him, he
ticked off at you or what?
What's that?
Is he kind of like mad at you?
No, he just knows I feed the bears there year-round, so he's taking advantage of the fact that I got him close to my camp, so he set up like 300 yards with a bait pile right by my camp. So,
oh, wow.
There's
How
millions
are the bugs
of acres
out there this time of the year right now?
Very, very few bugs. Most of them were killed off from the frost.
So it is getting cold at night up there.
Yeah, down in the 30s.
Wow. Well, what was the most recent encounter that you had out there?
Well, I wouldn't say it was my encounter, but I could say it was the guy that was trying to hunt close to my camp.
All right, well, share it with us.
Well, he had a big plastic barrel that was wired to a tree, about 3/8 diameter cable with a, you know, like a horseshoe-style clamp that goes over it with, like, two nuts that tighten on it to crimp them together. Mm-hmm. And his barrel was gone with the cable. Something had broke the nuts right off of it and took the whole barrel and whole works. Pushed over his tree stand. His camera was sitting cockeyed on the tree. Something had messed with the camera. And according to him, all he got was white images on it, which I've been telling people all along, that's what I get at my camp. And set cameras up everywhere, and I get the same thing. Just big white glowing figure stand there. I don't know what. I have a feeling this Bigfoot, it knows how to, it knows what those cameras are, and it has a way to, sounds crazy, but I think it's got a way that it does something, them cameras. I don't know how, but it does.
Kind of like, you know, Babe's taking their pictures, doesn't it?
It don't like to be taking pictures, and I think it knows they're on the tree there before it even gets up to it. And I think it purposely toys with them.
I think you may be right, my friend. I think you may be right. Well, you know, we're
thousands of these cameras people use for hunting all over the United States. You think someone would get a real good picture of it, but I think this animal is pretty smart when it comes to the woods.
Well, you know what? You know? Just talked about a fine observation. The reason being is there's not many people that are in the woods unless they do go hunting, okay? All these so-called researchers and Bigfoot hunters, and you think they go out there and spend time the way you do, we do? Come on, Mike, give me a break.
I'm out at camp as much as I can be, 3 days a week. And,
exactly. You know, they're armchair quarterbacks. You know what it's all about. Well, listen.
I know I know the woods like the back of my hand where I'm at, constantly.
I know you do. Listen, I want to thank you. We're running behind here, good buddy. But just mute yourself out. We got a lot more show ahead of us, and thank you for sharing with us. Okay.
Okay. Nice talking with you.
Be well. Thanks, Mike. That was Mike out there in Michigan. We've had him on the show before, ladies and gentlemen. Very interesting guy. Bill, let's go do commercial. On the other side of this commercial, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear a very interesting man. His name is Roger Peterson. He's from Arizona, and we've gotten more calls, we've gotten more emails about him in our movie than anyone else, and you'll find out the reason why on the other side of this commercial.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmargen, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's the movie that did it all for us, Bigfoot Lives. We won Best Documentary, Best Director under Todd Bailey. But I'm going to tell you this, the new ones that we got coming up are going to top them all. Believe me. And, you know, in our movie, our next guest was probably one of the biggest stars that we've ever had, and I'll tell you the reason why. His story, and it's told there in Bigfoot Lives, our first movie, he is so sincere, he is so true, he is so blue to the cause and to the loyalty that he had for his family. And the way he portrayed his story on film, ladies and gentlemen, we would get calls, as of today, where they brought tears to their eyes after listening and seeing his story. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, he's like my own son, Roger Peterson, Arizona. Roger, you out there?
Hey, my brother from another mother.
It's good to hear your voice, man.
It's so good to hear you too, Tom.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I cite that situation constantly. And then when people get to see Bigfoot Lives, especially your segment, my God, I mean, you tore everybody up. You really did, man. And
then, well, thank you, my brother.
Not to meet him, because when you meet Roger, you know, he has a persona about him, and I've never seen anything like it before in my life. We were in some eating establishments. Well, they had seen him on the news with us or seen them in the movie, and they're asking him for his autograph. And next thing you know, they want to take him home and date him. You know, he's a chick magnet, for crying out loud. I've never seen anything like it before in my life.
I remember that well. I got some answers for you, too, Tom.
Tell me.
It was Paris, Texas, 2006. The group with us was Timberline Bigfoot with David Hawley.
That's it. Yep.
And for the other guy that was in Michigan, believe it or not, these creatures can see the infrared light that trips the trip cameras. I found that out.
That's right. That's right. Roger, please. You're well, though, first of all? Roger?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you well? Everything okay?
Well, to be totally honest, in October, I broke my back in three places, and I've been laid up for 3 months, but I'm still out. I'm still going on expeditions and hunting, and I got some great news for you.
Tell me, share it.
We have, right here in a little place called Hereford, about 40 miles from me, that I have seen it myself and seven other people. We have a creature out here that is over 8.5 feet tall, Tom.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
You know what? We may detour, and either that or on the way back, stop by and see you and put you in on this next movie.
Hey, you bet. I'm going out Monday morning, and we're going out there on a little expedition to see if we can find trace evidence, footprints, and things like this. Because let me tell you what, this is an Audubon Society protected area for the birds, and this creature has come in there. And people all over the area out here have been calling me to go out and investigate, but yet I've seen this creature myself.
You know, while you're talking on those lines, now that I've got you live, L-I-V-E, on our show tonight, and thank you from the bottom of my heart, would you do a reenactment of what you did in our movie and tell the people who've never seen the movie and who do not know you what your encounter exactly was like?
You bet, Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen,
wait.
Gear up for this.
Okay.
Gear up, ladies and gentlemen, because you're going to get to hear something that's heart-wrenching. Without any further ado, Mr. Peterson, let him have it.
Well, my brother, it is a day I will never, ever forget. It was on the 15th of May of 1987. Me and four of my friends were out on a fishing expedition out at Painted Rock Lake in Gila Bend. We had gone out there up to the base of the dam. It was like a box canyon. And we were sitting back joking and having fun and eating pretzels and things like this, you know, and we settled in and started quietening down, and I had caught a catfish about 3.5 feet long, pretty good, and I was laying back in this part on the rocks that looked like kind of like an easy chair, you know, and I was just laying back, and it was about right around 2 o'clock in the morning, and we had a Coleman lantern with us that was putting out a really, really bright light, you know. And we had a full moon, right? And I was laying there, and all of a sudden everything went dark. And I looked up above my head, and frozen like a tree was a female Bigfoot, Tom. I could see her perfectly. She was right above my head. And I looked and I said, oh, my God, that's all we need is a frickin' Bigfoot. And then I realized I was not dreaming. It was real. And I jumped up and I grabbed my little topper and I hollered to the other guys. I said, hey, guys, I said, we got a creature, man. I said, I think it's a Bigfoot. And the next thing I knew, this big, huge 9-foot creature, he was about 9.5 feet tall, actually, because the water he was standing in front of us was up to my neck, and I'm 6'1". And this creature, the water barely went to his waist. He was there staring at us, just daring us, and the light started to go out, so we built a fire up over 8.5 feet in the air, you know, thinking this would give us time to refuel the lantern. Well, when the light went out, he charged, Tom. And I kept shooting over his head because I didn't want to hurt it. I didn't know what it was, you know. And finally, when he was point blank, I mean less than 10 feet from me, I fired right dead in his chest. And he held his chest on his right side, and he looked at me. Then he turned, complete body turn, to the cliff that was in front of us, turned back at me, full body turn, and then he turned and went through 25 yards across the water like it was nothing. I mean, he was gone in seconds. And I was so scared, but I had four other people that I was trying to protect. You know what I mean? Their lives were literally in my hands. And the next morning, we went around and we saw what looked like blood and a half of a footprint, and it was over 8.5 inches just with the toes and the pad of the foot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have anything of plaster castings or cameras or anything. And right after we come out, two Special Forces unit people came in behind us. And they said, well, at least one of them was smart enough to have a weapon, you know. And I'm telling you, Tom, it was the scariest moment of my life. And I will never, ever forget it.
You know, Roger, I got to tell you something. You give me goose pimples every time I hear this story, especially when, you know, the way you tell it. And I got to tell you, it was like I was just there with you when we did this back at Gila Bend. And ladies and gentlemen, when we did his story, it was 118 degrees. Do you remember how hot it was out there?
Yes, I do, Tom. And you guys had driven all the way straight through from New York to meet me that morning.
That's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. When we roll, we roll. By the way, what's the temperature like there now?
Right now we're pretty much in around 80, 85, and at night we're dropping down into the 40s.
Okay. All right. Well, put a little check mark, and after you find out what you find out beginning of next week, give me a call. And if it's favorable, you'll be in our new movie.
You bet I will, Tom, because I am honest to God going out Monday. I will be out there checking the area, and we will have the equipment with us for taking pictures and hopefully making plaster casts if we can find some good footprints.
God bless you, my brother. Thank you for being there. We've got a whole lot more show. Mute yourself out, and everybody says hello that knows you.
You bet. Say hello to all my brothers, especially Rex. I remember a tornado we went through.
Oh, my God. That's a whole new that's another show. We got to talk about that.
You bet, you, my brother.
All right. Take care of yourself. God love you. Talk to you soon.
You bet. God bless, my brother. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Roger Peterson. Boy, it gives me the creeps every time I hear that story, especially when he tells it. It's like we were just there. Without any further ado, let's get out there and talk to my brother and my family up there in the north in Montana, Mr. Bruce Shields. We'll be coming up there next week, too. Bruce, you out there?
Right here, Tom.
How are you, brother? How are you, Bruce?
You hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. How are you?
Oh, good.
How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm terrific.
Attaboy. Well, listen, you've never met Roger, have you?
No, I haven't. I'd like to meet him, though.
Oh, I'll tell you, man. He's an interesting guy. And I'll tell you what, you know, you see him in the movie all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But very compelling when he tells it. What's been going on up there? Anything exciting?
Oh, there's a few things exciting. Guy was fishing the other day, and a Bigfoot throwed a rock in the creek and ruined his fishing. Not just about, not even a quarter mile from the house here. And there's a Bigfoot that wants to talk to me. I guess another guy told me about it. I don't know, did you get to talk to Ed?
Yes, I did. I talked to him briefly yesterday, and he can't wait to talk with us. I want you to tell all our listeners around the globe here exactly what Ed does and what's going to happen and what we're going to do on film next week. Why don't you do that?
Okay. Little Eddie, they call him. He's had a Bigfoot come out of the bottom from Star School about every night for 5 years. He said he has never missed a night that Bigfoot comes out of the bottom, comes up to his house, and he said he's been coming there so much the dogs know him. He tells the dogs to shut up, and they lay down on the porch and shut up. He goes around the house and goes down around the barn, comes back to the house, and he knocks on the door. He just knocks one time, and he keeps going, and he goes right back down the way he came. And this guy, he told me that the Bigfoot that you guys came up and checked out the tracks when you first started out, that it's the same Bigfoot that wants to talk to me. He said he's been wanting to talk to me. I don't know how he knows that, but he knows a few of those Bigfoot. And I haven't went out to, he said the way that I get to talk to him is take out 3 offerings, one a night, and on the third night that Bigfoot will talk to me. And he asked me this twice, so he's serious about it, about me talking to that Bigfoot. But I think I'll just hold off until you guys get here, and that Bigfoot can talk to you guys.
I can't wait, Bruce. Let me tell you, to me this is going to be intriguing as hell. And you know, I've got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Bruce was the reason for us going up there to Blackfeet country, the reservation. He and his kids, it was in the month of January. It made headlines all around the world. And of course, there was a lot of people that say they're Bigfoot researchers and hunters, and they all call, but there was only one that really came up there, wasn't it, Bruce?
Oh, yeah.
Who was that?
You and the boys. You and Gabba Ball.
And we've been family ever since. Do you remember what year that was?
Yeah.
I remember
that just like yesterday.
What year was it?
2006, I believe.
2006, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that, and we're still together. And I'll tell you what, the footage that's in there, Bigfoot Lives, Hiram, where the foot, and all the other stories that came from Montana, that man right there that you're hearing is responsible for it all. He become a part of us, and he's been with us that long. And guess what? On our next movie, you're going to get to see him again. And you're going to get to see what happens when we make these offerings and see if the creature does come out and talk to Bruce and us. Brother, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thanks for sharing our 6th anniversary. Can you imagine this? We've been on the air for 6 years, Brother Bruce.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe it. You know, Tom, Donna's dad is going to be 76. Or 87.
I met him when he was 81 or 80. I hope that when we're up there, we can get a chance to see him.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
All right. Well, that'll be great. Listen, let everybody know we're coming, and I can't wait to see you guys. But here's your situation. Michigan, Upper Michigan, they're going into frost where it should be frost by you. You guys got 90 degrees, I hear.
Yeah, it only got up to 60 today, but a lot of smoke from the fires. There's fires around.
That's good. That'll bring the creatures down from the mountains and the hills.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Bruce, mute yourself out. We got a lot more show ahead of us, and thanks for joining in tonight, buddy.
Okay. We'll see you, Tom. God
bless.
See
you next week. Ladies and gentlemen, he's like our own family, Bruce Schilt. He's on the show quite a few times. And I'll tell you what, It all happened because of him up there in the Montana region. You know, we're going to go back out to the East Coast right now, out to PA. Well, I'll never forget the day that this young man called me. It was on a Saturday, and I thought he was drunk. I'm going to be honest with you. Called me back the next day and apologized because what he had seen drove him to drink. And until today, we still haven't had no resolution on this whole thing, but what he saw and what we believed he saw, it's on our website. But, you know, these so-called experts say, oh, no, it's nothing but a leaf. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Jadlovic. Kenny, you out there?
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
How you doing, son?
Good. How are you? Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much. How's Janine?
She's well. She's doing very well.
Please tell her I send our love. And, you know, we're going to be going to North Carolina, and I'm just thinking PA isn't that far away, and I'd love to have you in my movie, Bigfoot Lives, the movie. It's not going to be a documentary. This is going to have some fiction in it, and I'd love to have you in it. I don't know how I can work it in, but I'm going to see. How far are you from North Carolina, the border?
I'd say probably about 8 hours.
Well, it's not that far then, is it, the way
No.
you roll?
Nope, it's not that far at all.
Yeah. So I think what we'll do is, the closer we get there, I'll give you a jingle. Because, by the way, not many people have done that hike up there, that mountain. Was that, that was up the Appalachian, wasn't it?
Appalachian, yeah. We've been there several times since then. Actually, we were just up there about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, we still have, you know, some tree knocks and rock claps, not all the time. It's only happened maybe once or twice this summer, and we usually go out about three times a week. But, yeah, we still have some experiences.
How's the weather there now?
It's rain. We're going to have rain for the next 5 days. But it's around 70 during the day, and it's getting down in the 50s at night, about 50, 55.
So it's not unbearable?
No, it's very comfortable.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, tell the people around the globe about the old man. Who led the march up the Appalachian Mountains with you?
Yep, Tom did. It was quite a hike. It's about 6 miles round trip, three out, three back.
Yeah, and that was straight up the hill, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a hike.
And what happened to the other half of the crew?
A few of them stayed behind, and the other ones were walking like cowboys.
I'll never forget it. I got to tell you something, Kenny. There's two points that makes that trip so memorable for me, and I'll tell you the ones that it was. One was the Italian restaurant. To me, it was just spectacular. And the other was to see the passion and compassion in your heart, the way you told that story and your convictions of what film that you took. It just blew me away.
Yeah,
and when I was there and saw that, and you know, ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea what we go through. I mean, it's like water off a duck's back with me. But for people who are not used to it, you know, it can affect you. And I think it affected you in a way, didn't it?
It did. I'm now starting to get back to normal life a little bit. I still like going in the woods. I still like looking, researching. But, yeah, it really, as a matter of fact, it really affected my life. I basically became pretty obsessed with the video. Because, I know what I captured. I know I didn't see it while I was up there. But I know what I heard. And it was no hawk or crow. It was loud, and it was 15 or 20 feet away from me. And like I said, when I got home and watched the video, you know, it's not a leaf. You could tell it's not a leaf. You could see the baby's legs kicking and So, you know, I know what I heard. Thank God I didn't see it up there because I probably would have shit myself. But so, yeah, it did affect. It really did affect me. It did. But yeah, I'm getting back to normal life now. So
that's great. You know, I'm for just the reason of who you are, what you are, and what you went through. I'm thinking very, very seriously about making that extra voyage up your way and filming that whole thing, because I think the world needs to see this and see you and hear you tell the story.
Yeah.
And this is going to be on the big screen, by the way, so I think we just might do that. I want you to, I know it's 3 hours different, it's after 11 o'clock down there by you guys, but call me tomorrow during the day. Let me see if I can work out the logistics.
Okay.
All right? And kiss Janine for me. We love you, man. I want you to know that from the bottom of our hearts. And thank you for calling on our anniversary show today and sharing your story, okay?
Okay. I love you guys, too. Take care. Happy anniversary.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Kenny. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kenny down there in PA. Great, great guy. I mean, one of the best guys you'll ever meet. Without any further ado, we're going to go out there to New Mexico, Four Corners, like another son of mine, been with me from the beginning, and he can tell you some stories like you won't believe. Dave Ortiz, you out there, son?
I sure am. Hey, happy anniversary, Tom.
Dave, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm doing great, and happy anniversary, Tom.
Thank you so much. I mean, to hear these voices from the past and it brings back like it was just yesterday, Dave, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been great.
And you remember some of these guys, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember Rex and
Leroy. Met them. And my gosh, it's been like old home school week, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great hearing them.
What's been happening out there by you? Anything?
Actually, yeah. I was involved in an investigation Saturday with a family very close to actually our friend Brenda. It's very similar activity what Brenda had, but a lot more paranormal stuff has been going on. It's been very weird stuff. Getting like these Bigfoots that are they're gliding. They say they glide. They're very graceful. Also getting crop swirls in the corn. You know, things like that. Almost like crop circles. And
mm-hmm.
But they do have these Bigfoot-like creatures. They call them Bigfoots, but they're, you know, they rake the yard and everything to see if they can get tracks, but there's hardly any tracks. We did find a few claw marks, but there's no actual tracks yet. There's scratches on the window. You know, the windows are dirty a little bit, and they'd scratch them and then leave all these scratches all over a Chevy pickup, you know, trying to take the grill off. And wow. And then even more activity. I just heard, I have a friend that's in the hospital right now, and I was talking to him last night. A good Navajo friend whose family actually lives very close to that area, too, is telling me he saw some black helicopters over at our new casino that we have just on the west side of town. And
you think a special ops operation is going on?
Yeah. And also saw two Chevy Dually pickups with the ATVs on them. And they, I guess they were questioning people around the area if they've seen Bigfoot or all kinds of stuff going on. So there's operations going on.
Wow.
And, I guess one of one of the people that my friend knows, he asked him, well, what did they ask you? Well, they asked, have you seen some kind of weird things and like an alien looking thing? You know, like an alien. They're looking for a gray in all the mix. So it's like, wow, all this stuff happening just 3 miles from my home practically, you know? So, yeah,
do you have
a lot going on.
Verification? Can you confirm any of this stuff going on? And let me tell you the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like on the way back to stop. How's the weather been there by you? You said what? Is it hot?
It's like 70s in the day and then low 40s at night.
Now, that's in the lowlands.
Yeah, sure is.
That's by that river?
What's
that river that we did the research on?
Yeah, San Juan River.
What was it called?
Oh, San Juan.
Oh, the San Juan, that's it. Yeah. And what's happening with Brenda's husband? Is he okay?
Yeah, actually, he's done a massive improvement. He got a kidney. They found a donor and installed it in him, I guess you could say. And, boy, he's just like a different person completely.
Wow.
Yeah, doing real That's good. Wonderful. I think they just got home, too.
So our prayers have probably been helping there, too. Keep your ears close to the ground, and if you can confirm any of that special ops stuff, we're going to have a lot of that in the new movie.
Uh-huh.
And if that be the case and you can get it confirmed, I'd love to have you for a change. Because everybody's saying, well, when are we ever going to get to see Dave Ortiz, the one you call your son, in any of your movies? Well, this is probably going to be the coup de grace, my last thing, and because we're commissioned on this thing.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'd love to have you in it, son.
That'd be great. I'd like to be involved.
Okay, so you let me know in the next week. Call me. Let me know what's going on. If you get a confirmation about these black helicopters and the dualies out there carrying these ATVs and stuff, give me a call, would you?
Okay, sure will, Tom.
Again, say hello to Brenda and give her our well wishes for our husband. Thank you for sharing on our anniversary show, and I'm glad you were there with us, son, and
yeah.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you, and glad I was out there. That was really
good. Good. We still got another couple of people on with us, so mute yourself out, okay?
Okay. Sounds great.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's David Ortiz from New Mexico, Four Corners. He's been with us since the beginning, and God love him. He'll be there with us till the end. Without any further ado, we're going to get out there to Virginia and talk to Anthony.
Tom, we're not going to go to Virginia. He didn't come on yet.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Maybe he is. He may have just dialed in. Hold on here. Is this Lee?
Yeah.
Okay, Lee. We're going to go with Lee.
Is that Lee Joyner, my other son, out there in Texas?
You got it. Yep.
Yeah, this is him.
How are you, son?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh,
happy anniversary.
Well, thank you so much. Boy, I'll tell you what. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me talk about this guy. This guy has put a whole new realm to vocabulary, the English vocabulary. Because when I first met this boy, I got to tell you, I had to sit and listen to his sentences five times over before I understood what he said. But boy, when you hear and decipher what he's talking about, you laugh your ass off for a week. How you been?
Pretty good. How you been doing?
Well, good. I don't know if you caught, you know, Roger Peterson was on the show. And
yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, yeah. And boy, I'll tell you, he told that same story the way he did in the movie with us. And it was incredible, just incredible. How's your son doing?
Oh, he's doing good. He's doing real good.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, what's the weather like there?
It gets up to about 90 degrees during the day and about 70 at night. It's starting to get a little bit cooler, you know.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you know it or not. We're leaving on expedition, and we're going to doing a new film. It's going to be a pseudo-lost footage film with some non-reality that's in it. It's just a spectacular thing. And we're going to have special ops from the Men in Black type thing of reality, which a lot of that will be filmed. And I'm just wondering, I'd love, you know, everybody hears me talk about Lee Joyner. I'd love to have you in this new movie with us. We just may stop on the way back, too.
Yeah, I was thinking of meeting you on Fayetteville.
Oh,
if you want me to.
Oh, what? You come there, and I'll guarantee you'll be in, and you'll be up on against something there, and you're going to hear something that you've never heard before, and you're going to see some stuff that'll blow your mind.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
We've already got that together. Now, we're leaving a little bit earlier, so get up with me tomorrow, and I'll tell you our new schedule.
Okay, I'll do that. All right,
son. Well, listen, thank you so much. And please call me tomorrow, and I'll tell you our schedule.
Okay, I will. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Boy, ladies and gentlemen, here's a guy that traveled out to see us, been on expedition with us more than once, more than twice, more than three times, and he's a doer. No bullshit. He makes it happen. Well, listen, do we have Richard there from New York with us?
Sure do.
Good. Let's get out to New York, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a guy that's been having things going on continuously. Richard, how are you?
Good, Tom. I'm very good. Thank you. And you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm kind of stoked because I'm I got ants in my pants, and I'm ready to dance, and I'm ready to get back on the road because I've been cooped up with the film and everything, and we got this new commission to do this new movie, and my God, I want to put everybody in it and who's been good to us, let the world get to see them all in this movie, and I've got these new filmmakers with us that are creative, energetic, and have imagination, and maybe we can get out to New York, too. I keep telling them we're going to go up to upstate New York, so I guess you're up there anyway, aren't you, Rich?
Yeah, I'm right by Albany.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, what's been going on in your area? Talk to us.
Well, I sent Marco a picture today, and please, if you have somebody that can the Photoshop it or whatever, Tom, it is absolutely the real deal, and it's a face. On my camera, it's unbelievable, but as you know, as you transfer it from the camera to the computer to the internet, you know, you lose a lot. But it's the real deal. It's a face and a left arm, and you can see the thumb and the hands on the arm. It's on the crest of a hill. Not at the top, but just below the top. I think there's about two or three creatures there looking at the parking lot of the preserve, looking at it.
Wow. Well, and, you know what? We do have somebody, and Bill, you're there. Why don't you send that over to Leroy, and let's see what Leroy comes up with. What do you think?
Yeah, I sure will.
And
will you do that?
Yep, I'll send it over to Leroy. I'll get a hold of him tomorrow.
Richard, if we do make the time to come out there, you know, it's traveling today is, you know, with this gas. And what's gasoline a gallon over there by you?
About $3.90.
Yeah,
394
well,
or something like
that. The West Coast, it's four, depends on where you go, 433. We were coming in from the East Coast back here, and it was a lot cheaper. Then we hit the southern parts of the state of California coming up, and it was as high as $4.58 a gallon.
Tom, if I don't work, I'm retired, so if you're someplace close, I can always drive, all right? Because I do want to show you what's in my camera so you can see the real deal.
Let me ask you this. Do you know where Pennsylvania is?
Yeah. It's, you go up, I can go two ways.
Well, no, here's my whole point. What I'm trying to say, we're probably going to get up to see Kenny.
Uh-huh.
All right? Now, if you haven't seen his footage, go to the website and take a look. Go look under Pennsylvania and you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you'd swear to God that it's a creature with a baby on its chest.
Oh yeah.
And the so-called professionals came up and debunked it and said it was a leaf.
Let me tell you something. I've taken in the beginning. I've taken pictures of blobs. You know what they call. I used to take 150 pictures when I went out. Now I take 3. And you do see stuff, but if he said what he saw it. Believe me.
Yeah, well, we were there.
Everybody tries to talk you out of what you saw.
Yeah. Well, I know. We were there. You know, the guy is straight as an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
He passed all of our tests, I'll tell you that. But if that's the case and you can travel, boy, I'll tell you what, that'll probably be our last trip because we're going to go from North Carolina, then go up to see Kenny up there in PA. And then if you can come down and bring your stuff. Wow, that would be a bingo for
I don't
you.
Know if Marco has my phone number.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
If you give me a call, I can tell you whether I can make it or not. Chances are I can.
That would be really top draw. I appreciate that. Well, listen.
One other thing, Tom, before you go.
Sure.
I've been hearing, the past 3 times I went out, I hear it's usually a series of 2. It almost sounds like a fan belt slipping, and there's no reason for that noise. It's like a whistle, but it's more like I can't explain it. And I think it's like a warning call, because I hit a certain spot, and all of a sudden there's 2 calls. And I hear it on the way out, too.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know if anybody's ever heard that type of call before. I've heard a screech in there, you know, a scream.
Well, if anybody has heard those, please get a hold of us and we'll put you in touch with
it with sounds Richard. Like a fan belt slipping.
Yeah, all right.
So the way I can explain it.
But we'll find out. We'll put it out there and see what they say. Listen, thanks for sharing with us. I'll be in touch with you here in the next week or two. Thank you so much for taking a part of your life and being part of our show.
You're welcome, Tom.
Thank you so
God
much.
God bless. Thanks. Good night.
Good night, my friend.
And Tom, we have one more guest.
Who do we got?
We got Steve, the Gentle Giant.
You know what? I was. Isn't this? This must have been mental telepathy, because I was going to close the show out and say, my brother from another mother, the Gentle Giant, I want to thank you for what you sent me. And it doesn't go past about the M.P. Raymond Bigfoot Declassified.
Yep.
I tried to get a hold of that gentleman last night to have him on the show. I got a hold of his publisher, but I didn't get his number. And I don't know, because they almost gave it away. It might be a woman. I don't know.
I'll find out.
Nevertheless, if you find out his contact email or number, please send it to me. And if we hit Roger Peterson in Gila Bend or wherever it was, where are you at now?
Well, I'm in Quartzsite right now.
What the hell are you doing down there?
Hey, I'm like you. I can't stay in one spot.
You're down there with all them freaks.
I'll tell you what. Here's something weird. It ain't Bigfoot related, but the doggone, this town is so screwed up in the head, they've hired the same, they fired the same cop three frickin' times, and in the three-time period, they've hired the same cop again. I'm like, oh, my God, I'd hate to be a part of this town.
Well, let me tell you a story. I've been down there, and I've seen all those weird people. People still go around there half-naked or all naked?
No, they got a cop here. I guess he kind of like did away with that one.
Oh, really?
This change has changed in the last 30 years. They've got a mini eatery here. They serve pretty good food, and they're reasonable. People here, half the people are here nice, and half the people here are cruddy. That's all I can say. By the way, happy birthday, October 9th, and happy anniversary.
Thank you so much. Double thank you so much. Listen, I want to, on the way back, we'll probably stop in Arizona to do Roger. And if we
right.
do, we've got to get you into the film. We just do. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do the best I can. We've got so many people and
you just want to put my height in your film so you can show everybody off.
Well, listen, tell everybody how tall you are.
7'4".
7'4", ladies and gentlemen. Think
Good
about
God.
That. The rest of us are dwarfs around him, but he's been...
No comment.
he's been there for us like you wouldn't believe, and I love him.
I always will be, too. I don't care what nobody says about you, Tom.
Thank you,
buddy. I did my own shows for a while myself. The reason I haven't been online for that much for a while, everybody, I'm in the mining field right now. I'm doing what I used to do 30 years ago, and that's mining again. I've been getting some color. I have a video I uploaded this afternoon on Facebook. You go to it. It shows a little vial of gold I found. So
that's wonderful. That is wonderful.
And the other project I told you we were working on, I guess BLM put a hold to that one. That's government for you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If there's anything that you can get or do for me, is get me MP Raymond's email or phone number. I need to talk to them because I'd love to get him on film with this new movie, okay?
All right.
See what you can do for me tonight, all right?
All right, I will.
Bill, wait a minute. Bill, you got his new contact numbers?
It's the
sure
same.
Do.
Fantastic. Okay. All right, Gentle Giant, we love you, miss you. And let's see if we can hook you up on the new film and see what you can do on those contact numbers for me, okay?
All right, no problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to love to see this guy. And he can tell you some stories, some whoppers, I'll tell you, because he's just...
I saw a UFO last week.
Well, good. We'll save that for the film, okay? All right,
okay.
Shoot yourself out. Me and Marco got to talk for a minute or two here.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I want to take this last minute or two, and I want to thank my co-host, Marco Bill. You have no idea what he does behind the scenes. I'm the front guy. He's the back guy behind the scenes. If it wasn't for him, there would be no me. And I'll tell you right now, if anything happened to him, I would be like that prune. I'd shrivel up and die because
there's always two people that make things happen. And I'm only as good as the next footstep that I just left behind. Marco, Bill, I love you. I pray for you every day. And whatever you do, keep on keeping on, brother. And thank you.
Will do, and is right back at you, Tom.
Thank you for six beautiful years, Marco.
And thank you, Tom. It's been, as you know, we do things together pretty well.
And that we do. Kudos and salutations. And before I say good night, I hope Miss Calabash is getting a lot better, and I think about her every day. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're brought together, reason for the facts.